The charge of the word. If you harden your heart, you'll lose the charge. In the parable of the sower, wayside ground, stony ground, thorns, and then good ground. Well, in the Exodus, beginning in chapter 8, there were 10 judgments against Egypt. You know, first thing, the first sign, this the first one was a sign. Moses, his rod turned into a serpent. Then the magician's rod turned to a serpent, and his ate theirs up, and turned back into a staff. All right, but Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Moses told him, "Let him go, let the people go." So first he had the rivers of blood. All right. Well, rivers run, you know. The blood lasted a few days, and eventually turned back to water. So Pharaoh didn't. What I want to point out. Is Pharaoh, as bad as he was, as hard as his heart was, he asked Moses to entreat the Lord for him. So Pharaoh he's basically interceding for Egypt. He asked Moses to ask the Lord to make the plagues go away. Now the first one was in Exodus chapter 8, verse 8, with the frogs. You know, this is important. But let me share this. I just saw something before I go there. When in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." That's the person that lacks what's written between verse 5 and verse 8. Then it says this, "Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall." Now that's powerful. See, he that's born of God cannot sin. Now he that lacks what's, you know, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, temperance, and so on and so forth. These are the things that make you born of God, and you can't sin. Because verse 10 says, "Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Ever. Ever. And he meant it. And falling will be the thing of the past as you do the things that's written in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, I want to point something out. Pharaoh, as hard as his... Now, God, being fair to Pharaoh, God hardened his heart. But the illustration still proves this point. Chapter 8, Exodus 8 and 8. Now, this is Pharaoh talking after the frogs came about. "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice to the Lord." And you know, he went back and forth. He lost the charge. The next time he did, that was 8 and 28 with the flies. First, that was between the frogs, that were lice. But then here he is in chapter 8, verse 28. Them flies had to go. Pharaoh is broken. Here it is. "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away." Now then he said this, "Entreat for me." His heart was too hard to yield, but he did ask for help. So that's the second time. So he did five entreatments. He asked for entreatment five times out of ten. Okay, the next one is 9:27. Before I did the broadcast, I went by and highlighted all the times that he did it. And verse 27, "Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough." He tapped out, didn't he? That there be no more mighty thunderings in hell, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. So the pressure's on, but once the pressure's off, then he reverted back. See, in verse 34 it says, and when Pharaoh saw that the rain in the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his people. See, as long as he had relief, he's motivated from the outside. He has no joy, no peace. Verse 10, that's the fourth time he taps out. The fourth time is 10 in verse 16. Says, then Pharaoh called for Moses in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And this was the locust, okay, and then the darkness. The tenth time was after his son died, and that's in 14. Now he didn't see Moses' face this time. Well, this. I'm sorry. He did it again. He after the son died, he wanted the people to. He called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, "Rise up, and get you forth from among my people, both ye and your and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said." Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Now that was the fifth time that he asked for, you know, he yielded. The fifth time he yielded. Five is the number of judgment. And, but this is the point that I want to make, and I want to make this very clear. Under pressure, his heart look to God for help. No pressure, he reverted back. Now watch this. This is how the heart of man is. And when things are going terrible, then you know, because you're made in God's image and you're made by God, you know who to look to. This is Exodus 14. The people are gone. And it came to the point that this is what the king said in verse 5, Exodus 14, 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Alright, all these 10 judgments happened against Egypt. Egypt is now devastated, and they're asking, why did we do this? Why did we do this? He lost the charge of God's word. The closest thing he had, he saw that Moses could stop this, and God would honor what Moses said. And he asked Moses to entreat the Lord five times. And then he asked the question, why do we do this? The same problem happens among God's people who love the world somewhere. They get to a point, they forgot that they needed a savior in the first place, just like 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 9 said. They forgot they needed a savior. They forgot that they were in deep trouble. And now that when the pressure's gone, they forgot. When the pressure's on, they seek the Lord. But see, when you seek him from the heart, you don't go backwards. When you love God sincerely, you stick with you're born of God. And you know, we all share the responsibility of adding to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, brotherly kind, all the things that make us strong. I read the word enjoy. It's not a label to me to read the word, pray, worship God, enjoy his presence. One day I had a thought. I said, well, you know, when the Lord raptures us, I don't want the Holy Spirit to leave. I want him to be with. But, you know, I forgot about the scripture that said that he would be with us forever. And I went back and found that scripture, and I was confident. I love talking to the Holy Ghost. When you're born of God, you cannot sin. It's just not going to. You can't receive God's word sincerely with the intent to do it. And then you live according to his word as a way of life. And you worship. You're in his presence worshiping him. Then go rob a bank. That don't happen. You have to be mentally unstable or something for that. You can't do it from the heart and then go do evil. Because the word can't be broken. He that's born of God. Not just born again, but born of God. The word is formed in you. The word talk about being formed in you. And that needs to happen. But the thing I'm trying to point out is, if there's anything in your blind spot, it's going to hinder your marriage. It's going to take away your purpose. And you'll start looking at focusing on whatever it is you don't like. But guess what? This goes for ministry too. Anything that you don't like, the church ain't growing fast enough. The people don't do this. I thought they would be doing this by now, and they're not. You'll focus on the negative. I learned something from the Lord. Even if people don't have it all together, they can still be a blessing to be around. I mean, you don't have to know everything to have a good life. But you have to have the love of God in you to see what is. Any Christian, Christians of different stages of their life, God can use them to say what needs to be said. And the Lord he don't love us based on our performance. Never get the things that I'm saying. It's not, God loves you anyway. It's not going to make God love you more or less. If you do these things, you're going to live in obedience. Your life will work, and you'll be able to fulfill your purpose. But if you let these things slip, and you love the world somewhere, you're going to. If you love the world, friendship with the world will cause you to be an enemy against God, and that's the fact that I'm trying to point out. And this is why people have sorrows, depressions, worries, because they have unchecked fears and that they didn't deal with. Fear and pride works together. Usually, perfect love casts out fear, because the concept of love is opposite of the concept of pride. When you get rid of pride, fear goes with it. If you have pride, everybody I know that dabble in pride, they always have fears. And then they act on them, and then they stop the works of the Holy Ghost. They start saying no to what God wants them to do every time. There's no two ways about it. That's just the way it is. But people who walk in the love of God, they're not afraid to be a blessing to others. They're not afraid to honor others. They don't feel... they're not competitious. Now I love to see competition in sports. If I was playing football, I'd play to win. If I box, I'd box to win. I think I will anyway. One reason I didn't become a boxer, I was good at it. And when I was boxing my friend, I was winning, and then I felt sorry for him. I said, you can't be a boxer and feel sorry for somebody. But see, in a competition, when it's sports, that's what's expected. And you do the best you can, or you're not honoring the sport. But if it's not fun, it has no point. But when it's, it's important. That's in sports. But with the race that we run, it's not against man, it's against time. I want to be the best I can be, and I want you to be the best or better than what I'm doing. I really want you. I wish I did all that God would have me to do, and I wish all of his Christians did a better job than me. And that's sincere. This is why I say that. God put resources in everybody. We're designed to live forever. So if you look for the good, it's always there. We have every person on earth made by God, which all people are. God put resources in them, though they're designed to live forever and serve God and be a blessing to others. So if you live 1,000 years, you're going to find out that there were abilities and talents in you that God gave you from the beginning. But when the time came for you to use it, they rise up. So when you're married, there are things about your spouse. If they're on the right track and they're fulfilling their purpose, more things are going to start rising up until the Lord take them home. I'm not kidding when I say that. That if you keep renewing your mind, you're going to be able to put things in words that you normally couldn't put in words. The resources are there, and you have to encourage it. The wisest couples encourage each other in the things of God. When you have the love of God in you, you fulfill your purpose. And when you're doing that, you always have joy. Jesus said that he wanted our joy to be full. And when you're continually learning and growing, and you know, if the rich young ruler would have continued the process, he was fruitful, he was multiplied. Now he would have started replenishing, giving to others, and helping life grow, helping people grow in Israel. That would have been better chapters in the Bible. He would have learned from Jesus, and he would have probably been one of the most outstanding apostles. Or he would have did what was necessary that others didn't do or couldn't do. Because he would have had another insight. Jesus said, come and follow me. He don't say that to anybody. But he walked away. And if you don't want to walk away from Jesus at your visitation, which you're going to have one, you got to drive out the darkness. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And receive the word of God. Now the word of God is the word of God. You receive it in your heart, it works. Now I'm way out of time. But the Lord is not here. Continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord and Savior. Stay in victory and enjoy all of your life. Enjoy your people. Enjoy the ministry. And most of all, enjoy Jesus, who gives you strength to do all things. He's the author and finisher of our faith.